Welcome to another episode on the Duane Morrell Podcast. I'm so happy to be back in the studio with my lovely favorite co-host, Jim D'Lo. Have a special, unique guest on the phone. He's been waiting for a minute.
He's been waiting, and are we good? I told you. There you go. Hey, by the way, sorry to – this is being recorded at the Jed TV. I'm Jed TV and WJOB Studios. I'm the owner, but I come and come out of retirement just to sit with DeJuan because he's like a celebrity, man.
No,
traveling that's all over all you. The world. He's got like special status. He's got TSA pre.
It's just not to sit in with the people that just fake travel. So I like to do expedite my traveling. So
the only problem you would have is that if you're sitting next to him, these 6'5" knees are going to go into your space, and I'm glad that doesn't happen.
That's
although
fair.
Eventually you and I are going to fly together, and I'm going to be like,
hey, first class.
Get your freaking knees away from me, man.
Extra leg room.
Hey, what about Chema? How's he doing?
Good morning, Chema.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. How are you guys doing today?
Hopefully we didn't hold you up too much. How are you?
Oh, no, man. I'm doing well. You're all good.
You still working at Atlas?
I am still working at Atlas, too. Yeah, so taking a minute here, jump on with you guys, talk a little hoops, and I'll get back to accounting for our steel costs.
You know, I happen to know somebody at Atlas. You want me to give them a call, tell them that we were running a little late here, and that's it took some of your time away. So we do apologize. We are the voice and face of the region, as you well know. You know what?
Yeah.
One of the things, though, is you growing up in Chesterton and just bleeding Chesterton colors, it wasn't a hugely close relationship with WJOB like we have with, say, EC Central or Hammond or Lake Central, that kind of stuff. But, Scott, I know we got a lot to get to, but EC Central and Crown Point are both going on to the 4A regional. What do you see out of those guys?
I just see a lot of heart and effort and desire to play for their coaches. You know, a lot of those teams, well, take EC, for example, right? You got, not a first-year head coach, but, you know, really his first full year. Those guys play harder than heck for Ella. You know, the amount of energy around that program right now is more than I've seen since I've come back to the region after college, which was 2017. You know, you got Dom Murphy, you got Wallace, you know, just two absolute studs, and everybody's just playing really well for them. And that's probably, in my opinion, the hardest section that'll come out of this year. You know, with Munster, Lake Central, Gary Westside's got some guys. You know, it's just a really, really tough sectional. You know, Hammond Morton, give them a shout out to. I know they were 7-17, but taking Munster to double OT, like everybody can play in that sectional. And then you kind of move over to the Chesterton sectional, and you know, Crown Point having to get through Valpo and Chesterton, and you know, they've got a really good young core, four sophomores that you know see significant time over there. You got Jack Spedich, who absolutely lit up Chesterton. And, it, you know, again, bleeding Chesterton over here, it hurt a little bit. But Jack did, you know, play for us last year, so I was really happy for him. And Swan got them clicking at the right time. Right?
Chema, do you believe that the Bulldogs are 32 points better than the Trojans?
Oh, man, you're trying to get me in trouble, aren't you?
That's a fair take.
Hey, Chema, that was my question. I was up next, pal. What happened to your Trojans, man?
You know, hey, when teams are clicking and you know, you struggle, you got to remember these guys are kids, right? And we put a lot of stock in these guys. They work out every single day, and sometimes you're on, sometimes you're off. And unfortunately, you know, for Chesterton that night, you know, shots weren't falling and, you know, everything seemed to be going in for Crown Point. So, you know, if you bring him back out again, I guarantee it's a closer game. You know, it was a fun one to watch for sure.
You know, Chesterton just lit up a Lowell team the night before. And, of course, Crown Point had to go over Valpo. I always think that Friday night game, you don't want the easy game. You want the tough team. Do you agree?
Yeah. I love – Central is so unique, right? You know, I'm a big proponent. I would love to see a seeded sectional that's just kind of my personal take, because I like to see those Friday-Saturday matchups. I know that there's some pros and cons to each. But, you know, I was at the Chesterton Portage game on Tuesday, I think it was Tuesday, and that was a battle, right? And you know, you watch Crown Point and Velpo battle, and then you're like, hey, you know, I just beat Velpo, now I'm going on the host. You're locked in. You're ready to go. Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, having the stronger matchup Friday, and then, you know, you're kind of locked in on what you're doing. Your starters are playing their normal minutes, and then you're moving into sectional final. It is a little bit of a benefit.
Talking to Scott Shum, if you're driving around, this is being recorded. Way more people listen later, but we do record it live here. And if you happen to be driving around, you could call at 219-845-1100. Here it is on March 6th of 2024. Tell us what you do in terms of Indiana, of your own coaching right now, Scott.
Yeah. So through Indiana Game, we are a nonprofit travel basketball program. I'm really happy to say we're nonprofit. I've been trying to get nonprofit status for the last couple of years. So we just got that in December of 2023. You know, really our goal within Indiana Game is to provide the highest level of competitive basketball for the region. Our top teams compete on the Under Armour Rise circuit. This is our second year going back to the Under Armour Rise. I've been a part of the Adidas circuit. You know, we've done independent and independent tournaments, you know, Prep Hoops, Gym Rats, NY2LA, and those are good. But the level of Under Armour Rise and the exposure and the organization behind it was second to none last year. I was super, you know, excited to be invited back. You know, our teams this year look primed to be really competitive on it. You know, as an organization, what we really try to do is give kids to the region an opportunity to compete on this. Our second and third teams give other kids opportunities to play and develop for their high school teams. And then hopefully, ultimately, you know, we get kids to college. That's kind of our end goal. While providing, you know, quality basketball and quality life mentorship within our program.
Jim, Jim's actually on you guys' website now looking to order some Indiana Game merch. How about that?
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, absolutely. Please do. You know, we got our team store open for another day. I can get you definitely a free T-shirt, Jim. You've had me on a couple times, though, so I think I owe you and DeJuan that at least. Getting you guys a free T-shirt this year. But
you know, I appreciate that, but we're getting ready to offer merch. So I'm going to buy one to see how this works and everything. And
okay.
I think I'm going to call you to – this is a great offering here. Not only that, it's a great logo. It's a nice, tighter-fitting black T-shirt. Now that I'm trying to lose some weight, I don't mind wearing that tight fitter. You know, a couple months ago, that would have looked, you know, Ralph Cramden-like from the side, which no one's going to understand that reference. But in terms of the players that you had this year, you mentioned you had Svetich. Who else did you have?
Yeah, so our 2024 class, Jack Svetich played with us, David Cundiff, Alan Briggs from Michigan City, Malik Corley from LaPorte. We had Jake Smith down in LC. I'm definitely gonna forget a guy or two. You guys got to forgive me.
Jake Smith is on my all-area first team, guys, FYI. Wow. He's a stud at Lake Central.
We're getting ready to argue about first team region, and it sounds like you had it right there. At least
pretty
you
much.
Had a good,
impromptu.
A good portion of it.
Yeah.
What's the purpose of, what is 17U, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
All ages,
yeah,
too,
yeah,
for Indiana game. They cover ground.
Yeah, they cover some ground, but what's the purpose? Why you got a full-time job with Atlas, work your butt off, and now you got to go over and run this thing. I mean, what's the purpose?
I think the purpose for me is to give back to the community, right? Be a positive influence like my coaches were growing up. You know, I played three different sports. I was a golfer, basketball player, soccer player. And I look back at some of the coaches that gave back to me and the impact they had on my life. I mean, I still talk to my eighth grade basketball coach. We're in a fantasy football league for the last 10 years, you know, together. And I kind of want that for myself, but also for our area. Like, there's so much negativity in the world. When you get out, you know, you could talk about any different thing and there's negativity around it. You know, within our program, and what I want to do is be a positive light for kids. And I know our coaches feel that same way. We try to take the BS out of AAU basketball. DeJuan can speak to, there's a lot of it. You go to some of these tournaments, you see, you know, parents fighting, you see kids fighting refs. Like, if that ever happens for us, man, like, that gets shut down real quick. It never has happened, thankfully. But, you know, we try to be that positive light for kids, bring kids in that need, you know, positive mentorship or an opportunity to show their skills, and then ultimately help them get to the next level. You know, earn scholarships, earn spots on college rosters, earn that education. And for those kids that don't want to go to college, you know, how can we help them get to, you know, a trade or something like that? Something, you know, kind of cool that I was talking to the president of my company about this year is I'm going to try to bring some kids out for a mill tour. Because, you know, college isn't for everybody. And, you know, that's something that he had brought up to me, and I love that idea. So, you know, for me, my purpose is just to give back and let us help kids get to that next level of what they want to do. If it's basketball, if it's college, if it's work, you know, whatever it is.
And D'Lo, full disclaimer, I emailed Shema when I first started filming, and I'm say this on record, I emailed Shema years ago, and I was like, hey, let me cover your program at the Indiana Game Fall League in Valpo, because I just had to put it out there like, hey, I do video. I don't want to go to your open run to hoop, right? Like, I want to film the open run. And Shema took it in consideration and allowed me to do digital marketing for their program when I first started. So that's why him and I are, like, really tight to this day, because he believed in what I could do, and our relationship grown over the years, and that's something I'm incredibly thankful for.
Shema, you got to be proud of DeJuan.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, DeJuan has been a massive asset to what we do here at Indiana Game. And he, I mean, the stuff that he puts out is awesome. Man, I wish he wasn't a Nike guy, because I'd be throwing money at him to get him full time with us.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, hey, Nike's, you know, an elite brand, and what he does with Paragon and you know, EYBL and ESPN and all that stuff. I mean, he's got a ton of resources at his disposal, but he's earned it. I mean, his hard work, he's earned every part of what he's got. And I'm definitely thankful to call him a friend in this market, and you know, definitely recommend him to anybody that has the opportunity to work with him.
Well, he calls you a mentor. So, yeah, hey, watch yourself with that Nike stuff, because he's real good at showing up after going on a trip with a free T-shirt or something for me. So, watch free swag is always good. Hey, let's talk a little bit about that in the region. You know, we're obviously, you know, Jed TV's doing a lot of the games. We're going to be doing both the East Chicago Central and Crown Point game. We're going to be doing that for Michigan City. Three cameras. Thousands of people watch these games anymore. We can tell from the broadcasting side that it's almost as if the region and the state of Indiana has rediscovered the beauty that you're talking about of youth and high school basketball. Are you seeing that?
Yeah, I think so. You know, a lot of parents and not even parents, you know, just community members, I think the ability to be able to follow through social media and be able to stream the games, and you can go to the game. Like, there's so many avenues for you to be able to follow your favorite team, but also outside of your favorite team. You know, 10, 15 years ago, it was newspaper. You see the game stats next day. And newspaper's great, and I love, you know, the coverage that those guys give. They don't get enough, you know, acknowledgement of the hard work that those guys put in. But, you know, likewise for you guys, getting out and covering games and being able, I can be sitting at a Chesterton game and stream, you know, through you guys, the Munster Hammond Morton game, you know, to see what goes on in double overtime. Like, I couldn't do that 10 years ago. You know, so the love of being able to watch more basketball is definitely prevalent. And I think, I definitely think that that's how the trend's going. People are definitely rediscovering the game a lot more in Indiana.
You know, we have up after this, we have Sasha Stanovich, and he's obviously a Purdue guy. You're a Purdue guy. And I saw in your bio that you played Purdue club basketball all those years.
Yeah.
You're a legend down there. You guys won a national championship.
And he micromanaged all that as well, putting the league together. Shema did.
Not the league. The team.
Yeah, just the team. Yeah the league's the team. Been there.
He's
a long
always
time,
been a director. Yeah. I'm yeah. sorry. In so, same column.
Yeah, but what was that experience like, both from a player and kind of a sports management angle?
Yeah, it actually, that was the reason I rediscovered the love for the game. I actually didn't play late high school ball my junior, senior year. Kind of lost the love for it and, went to Purdue. And I remember it was my freshman year. I was sitting in my dorm, Wiley dorm down there. And I had a buddy, 6'7" kid. We used to go hoop 3-4 hours a day. He's like, hey, there's this club tournament coming to Purdue and we want to throw a team in, like just a rec team. We're like, okay, cool. So we go out and our first game we're playing Butler, who won the national championship the year before. And we got absolutely smacked, lost by 50. Like, wasn't even close. Kids were just dunking on us, draining threes. It was kind of insane. But from that experience, next couple games, I was like, man, this is really cool. Like, we don't have anything like this at Purdue. Why don't we have a team? So I kind of started that freshman year, built it up. Sophomore year, we became like an official club. Then we became an official Purdue club sport. Right after my senior year, there was a 4-year window. You had to kind of be just a normal club to develop into a club sport. But my senior year, we joined this league called Cold Club Sports and went on to win a national championship there. We had some absolute studs. I was really just kind of the shooter on the team. But we had some dudes that, went to Anderson and for us we're averaging like 37 a game. So it was a really cool experience. It was kind of like AAU for college. Being an absolute legend there, I wouldn't say that. That's more of Sasha speed. But, it was a really cool experience. And funny enough, that club's still going on. They actually won a national championship again last year. Which was really cool to kind of go back and be like, hey, man, I left that legacy there and open this up. And now it's continued on and thriving. So it definitely a really cool experience for me.
Well, I think Sasha's on the line. Yeah. So you're going to get booted off. But you got to go back to some spreadsheets anyways.
Wait, before I go, I'm going to leave him with this. And then we'll, after Sasha, D'Lo and I will reminisce about your all-area team. Give me your all-area first team real quick.
All right. Well, when you texted me about that this morning, it was
gave you two hours to brainstorm.
Yeah, there's a lot of tough decisions here, but I'll throw out a 6-man team and I'll throw out some honorable mentions. My 6-man team, Jack Smiley, Dom Murphy, definitely leading the way. Those guys, you would have a huge argument between who's number one. Jake Smith, Tyler Parrish, Marcus Browner from Hammond, Dikembe Shaw from Crown Point. Around my top six. My honorable mentions are Hayes from 21st, Keegan Holder from Morgan Township, and Caleb Parks from Hammond Bishop Knoll, who also, going to sectional or regionals, really good team atmosphere over there, too. It's made a really interesting experience in Lake County. So those nine, names one of them mentioned, but there's a ton of options. You can't go wrong, really, anyway.
Well, D'Lo's going to take this in consideration when he has the WJOB all-area team.
No, that's a Sam Michael thing, but I'm on a lot of these. Just about, I think all those names you mentioned there are right at the top. And I think really what it goes to right now is what we talked about, is that the level of play right now is at a real high point. The energy and awareness, I don't know what caused it, partly social media and streaming the games. But it is it's a really good feeling around high school basketball, boys and girls, right now.
Yeah, definitely.
So, well, all right, man. You. Thanks a lot, Scott. We appreciate
it. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks for having me, guys. You have a good rest of your day.
Take care.
Big ball game last night for Purdue, man.
They pulled it out down in Champaign. I think they're on the team bus right now. Sasha Stefanovic, good morning, brother.
Good morning, man. Good to see you guys.
How did it feel holding that trophy in Mackey and then readjusting to reality, going down to Champaign, taking care of business, and now you're sitting here talking to D'Lo and I. Nice sequence.
No doubt. No, it was really cool for myself. Like, I, as a player, when I won my Big Ten championship, I did it on the road. So So I've never seen that celebration in Mackey. I've never been a part of one. So that was really cool to do in front of our home fans and, you know, get that celebration that we really deserved. And then, like you said, reshifting our focus to Illinois because they're a really talented team. They're also wanting a share of the title. And it's a true testament to our guys that, like, they just locked in and, you know, got it done because that's a really, really tough place to play, and they're a really, really talented team. So it was a really, really great win for us last night.
You know, Southern Illinois bringing Damask and then bringing Jones to you guys, that was a beautiful matchup every time they were guarding each other. Damask is a beast, man. I did not realize he had that kind of scoring ability.
No doubt. He's a very, very talented player. We call it Pickett did last year for Penn State in that booty ball kind of thing where they just kind of back you down from the three-point line and get you in the post when they're having smaller defenders, you know, usually a point guard or somebody smaller is guarding them. And they're so talented at making really tough mid-range shots. They're very physical, strong, and his finishing ability is just great. So he's a really talented player. And, you know, luckily they got him and we got Lance because, you know, we got two good ones from Southern Illinois for sure.
You guys ask a lot out of Lance, but last night I'm watching that game. I'm like, man, he's a lot smaller. And I'm with you. Damask was just putting his booty on him. But Lance was able to handle it. You know, I mean, he does. How big is he as an addition to this team?
Oh, he's huge. He's huge. I think he's one of the main difference makers for our team. I think he adds such a dynamic for us on the defensive end where he's able to guard somebody like Damask, where he's able to guard their best players and, you know, really help us in that regard. But offensively, he's been terrific for us. You know, he could really break people down off the dribble. He can make, open threes, make tough contested shots. Like last night, he hit the big three in the corner before Braden made his, dagger three at the end. But he's a gamer. Like, he really wants to win. He really loves being a part of this team. He's an unbelievable person above all. So he's a great addition for our team, and he's a good mature piece for us.
What's your role down there?
I am director of player personnel, which, you know, doesn't, you know, kind of sound like much, but really what I do, we do things like a football team. So we do coordinator style. So PJ Thompson is running the offense and I'm basically his assistant. So me and him handle all things offense. We worry about that, schematics, what other teams are going to do, how they're going to guard us, and everything like that.
Who does the offense? I mean, who does so PJ's calling the plays. Who's doing the defense?
So that's a two-man team between Coach Paul Lusk and Coach Terry Johnson. They split scouts, and they're locked in completely on defense.
So, Sasha, PJ, I see him more and more taking a kind of a more leadership role. I think Matt even sat down a couple times last night, and PJ went out and called the plays. Talk a little bit about his influence on this team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, not many Hall of Fame coaches like Coach Painter are going to give the keys to his entire offense to a 28-year-old and a 25-year-old, right? It's really great to see how he has trust in us and allows us to call plays and allows us to put new things in and whatever we see that is going to help our team. And, you know, he obviously has his input, but he really gives us a lot of freedom to do that stuff. But PJ is unbelievable. PJ is one of the people that in the future is going to be a leader of a college basketball team or whatever he wants to do. He's just whatever it takes to have to be a head coach. I think he's really got it. I think he really has the respect of our players. He's really good and articulate at what he's trying to say, how he's explaining it, the details of what goes into it. And it's really great for myself. I was a teammate of his my freshman year when he was a senior. So it's really good for me to learn from him as well. Now in this role in my first year of coaching. So it's been really great to have him on staff as well.
Sash, you was abroad once you finished Purdue, had an amazing career. I was there for your senior night. You decided to come back to Mackey. live in Lafayette, and now you're holding another trophy, but not just as a basketball player, but on the administration, on the business side. How does that feel and the change of speed of your life to just sit back and really know that you kind of made the best decision for your life to be in this position right now?
Hey, Rico, it's crazy you say that because I was literally thinking about that this morning. And it's really cool for myself because when you stop your basketball playing career, you have doubts, right? Like, I was young. I was 24 years old when I decided to stop playing basketball, and I was at a pretty high level overseas. I was playing in first divisions in Greece and Serbia and the Adriatic League. So, like, that decision wasn't easy, you know? And, you know, you have your doubts, and you always – I still want to be competitive. I want to win stuff. I want to, you know, I want to do things at the highest level. So, for myself, validating that I made a good decision and I'm here making an impact, I'm able to have freedom and call plays and draw things up in timeouts and really help these younger guys have success. You know, it's great to see some of the younger players and guys that are coming up in our program have success, put another banner up in Mackey. Hopefully we get far in the NCAA tournament, and hopefully that I can help these guys do that for themselves. But it's really cool. It's really different for myself, obviously. You know, you're so stuck in your own element as a player and trying to get better at what I'm doing and what can I do to help the team and whatever it may be. And you kind of have to shift your focus as a coach. And it was an adjustment for myself early on, especially because I was teammates with some of these guys on the team. But it's been really great for myself to just you know, be a part of this, you know, legendary program, and thankful that Coach Paint, you know, has trusted me to help us, you know, get there.
Sasha, Braden Smith has emerged just like, I mean, it almost reminds me of watching you, to be honest, at times. He gets that ball now, and he knows he wants to shoot that three because everybody's falling back on Zach Edey, and he's getting that three. Last night he basically hit, I think, 3 3-pointers in a, going down the stretch. And they were huge against Illinois. As a shooter, you know what that's like when it's going into a zone and you're getting that confidence and it's starting to build. I'm seeing it in him. What's happening with Braden Smith that all of a sudden he's able to step forward like that?
I mean, he's just a gamer. Like I said about Lance, like, he wants to win and he wants to be the best player in the, and play at the highest level. I mean, I love it because a lot of our team, we have a lot of guys that have chips on their shoulder, right? Like, we don't have a lot of guys that were nationally rated top 5 in the country, you know, this or that. Braden is a 6-foot kid from Indianapolis that probably a lot of people overlook, and he's got that chip on his shoulder where he's just constantly gotten better and better and better. And it helps playing with the National Player of the Year, obviously, but his decision-making, his willingness to learn. I think he, you know, took a look at himself in the mirror after last year and realized, you know, I had a great freshman year, but it's time to get better and better. And he really worked on his jump shot. He worked on his decision making. He was in the gym every single day, multiple times a day. And you're seeing the, you know, the rewards of that work. And I think he's been so tremendous for us. I think he's been kind of the guy that makes us go. Obviously, Zach is Zach, right? He's an elite player. He's one of the best college basketball players ever. But I think when Braden is doing his thing, I think we're just a totally different team.
Zach have a sense of humor? What's he like?
He does. He does. He is one of, like, I was just talking about it the other day. He's one of my favorite teammates I've had just because he's great at knowing when to be serious, and he's great at knowing when to poke fun. And I love that about him. He's great at keeping it light in the locker room and in practices and shoot-arounds and everything. And then when it's time to ball, it's time to ball. And that's kind of how I am. So I love that about him.
Go ahead. Yeah. Final.
Sash, you're with a Hall of Fame coach. You're with veterans, mm-hmm. as a staff. You sit there and you be a sponge and you're watching everything just play out majority, obviously, in you guys' favor. And Painter has won so many games, right? He's a champion at himself, and he's a winner. How does he stay motivated to continue to dominate and win? What advice does he give to you and his staff to say, like, when is enough? Because I just see him just steady dominating the competition. Like, what's some advice that he gives you guys to stay hungry and not be content?
Yeah, just, like, you never stop working, right? No matter what happens, we always trust the work. And we're in the gym every single day. We're in the office every single day from a coaching perspective. We're in the, you know, we're watching film. We're scheming things up offensively, defensively. We're always thinking the game. And I love that about Coach. It's like we don't stop. Just because we won, just because we won the Big Ten title on our floor the other night doesn't mean mail it in. We're, you know, we're good with, you know, just sharing it with somebody else. No, we want to win. We want to win every single game, no matter what it is. We always take a look at our next game, and that's who we're playing. We don't worry about anything else, which I really appreciate, and it helps you build the mentality that every single game, next game is your biggest game, and I really like that mentality. And at the end of the day, you know, we have bigger goals. We want to win in March. We haven't gotten to that point in these last few years. My freshman year, we made an Elite Eight. We're 1 second away from a Final Four, and it eats away at all of us every single day. And we want to get over that hurdle and get a Final Four, get a national championship for this great university and all the people and players that have been here before and all the fans. And it's something that it bothers us that we want to get it done. So we really just continue to work every single day and grind and just get better.
Sasha, finally, your Bulldogs are going in to play Warsaw 7 o'clock Friday or Saturday night in regionals at Michigan City. Classic matchup, classic place to play, classic coach in Clint Swan. And just what do you have to say to your Bulldogs going into something like that?
Oh, I'm so excited. Hopefully we have early practice, so hopefully I'm going to be able to make up the trip to Michigan City to watch them. But I was just talking about losses that eat away at you. That's another one. I lost to the regional final to Warsaw my junior year. So kind of funny, kind of ironic. I think it's kind of destiny that they're playing again. My little cousin's a junior on the team right now.
Shout out to Petco.
Shout out to Petco. Yeah, I'm super excited for them. It's Coach Swan is one of the best people I've ever been around. So for him to get another sectional and get to this point in regional, it's really cool to see. I'm really excited for them and the community of Crown Point. And hopefully we get it done because, you know, if I'm not able to go, I'm going to try to go to semi-state or whatever it may be. But I'm going to try to be in the building. So it'll be really fun.
We'll have it on TV, on Jed TV. You can watch it. But we'd love to see you there. And Sasha, if you do walk up there, if you don't mind just stopping by the broadcast booth maybe at halftime or something, those guys would just like to hear your analysis of the game of so far. But I do remember that game, and I think DeJuan's looking at me like, did you bring that up for a purpose? I go, yes, I did. I was at Warsaw Crown Point, and that's heartache for the whole region.
Rico, they held the ball on us, man. It was 13-9 at half.
Yeah, classic.
That bothers me.
That's why IHSA needs a shot clock. So because I have a feeling that some schools are going to pull the cat out the bag this weekend on some teams to stall the ball.
Yep. Sasha, thank you so much, man. We're proud of you up here in the region, my friend.
Thanks, Sasha.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Yeah, thank you for the time. I thank you guys.
Thanks. Talk to you. It's your podcast. What are we doing now?
You're the pilot. I'm just on autopilot.
No, I'm
right
the
now.
Co-pilot I'm on this. I literally come in here so that you bring all these great guests and, of course, your own analysis. This is like the best hour of my week.
Well, Rob texted me and was like, hey, who do you have? And, you know, originally I had Clint Swan, right, premeditated, but he had to administer SAT. So I respect this. I was like, okay, no worries. And I was like, well, let me go to yoga class tomorrow night. I did a hot fusion class, 8:30 to 9:30, and I was thinking that whole 60 minutes to myself to see who are the guests, who should we have on that's going to give us some excitement and content. And I text Sasha this morning, impromptu, and it's like, hey, you know, come on, talk to D'Lo and I and Shema. I know that he has a lot of great takes, so thank you to them, and obviously thank you to Rob for hosting and being our producer.
Hey, Rob, if he comes up there, man, make sure he gets on at halftime. Take a third headset, will you please? Because you don't want to make Sasha put on Tim Fedler's headset.
I'll right. make sure of it.
Yeah, he's got that long ponytail and he sweats Kuziak style. So bring a third headset. Hey, man, this is the time. We are going to talk about our region – all region team.
Yeah.
And you heard Shema pretty much do the same thing right there. I consulted with Sam Michael, who is in Washington, D.C. right now. And Sam is representing WJOB. And really what, you know, part of what they're doing is they want to know, you know, how do you take an old radio station and make a new TV station out of it? And that's one of them. And then also, you know, what can AM radio do for sports? And it's certainly doing a lot around here. All right, let's start with some of these people. Let's start. Are you in on this with
me? Yeah, yeah, Rob, chime.
Rob, you and I and Sam are WJOB Jed TV.
Chime in.
This is him. And I'm just going to have to go with Sam's.
And I'm going to put Rob on the spot. Give me your all-area team, Rob. I know there's some guys that you have that you want to share. And, yeah, spread some light on those names.
For sure. I'm going with three of what Shema said. I'm going immediately with Smiley, Murphy, and Hayes. I think what they were able to do this year for their teams was truly remarkable.
Smiley, Murphy, and Hayes. That's
yes.
Jack Smiley. Jake Smiley. Jack Smiley.
Jack.
I'm dyslexic, so they're always back. Jack Smiley, Dominique Murphy. And who was the third?
Terrence Hayes.
Terrence Hayes, yes. Those three are on the Jed TV WJOB all area team. And we're only going with five, right?
Yeah, we're going with five.
Yeah.
My next one I want to go with, I think I'm going to go with Smith from Lake Central.
Okay. And according to Sam, he is not on, let me see. He's got Hayes. He is not, but we'll leave it out there and we'll talk about it. Jake Smith tore Munster up in the first half of that game.
And my fifth. This is the hard one. I have it between two people, but I'm gonna side with him. It's a little bit of biasness towards me, but I'm gonna go Caleb Parks Bishopnull.
That's fair.
Why is that bias?
I'm a Noel guy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So how am I going to not put a Munster guy in there, huh? And all of those guys are very deserving. That is the Rob Aguirre all-area team. I'm going to go with those three. I'll go mine, and then we'll go up against DeJuan. And this is from Sam Michael. Sam Michael is setting this. I haven't seen as many games. He's reffed everybody. So he's going with Murphy. And he is going with Parrish from Chesterton. We've had Urban on a number of times, and you can't go without that. You got Murphy, Parrish, and Smiley, and I think that's three guys pretty much on everybody's around here.
That's fair.
And then it kind of moves around a little bit. Hayes just from 21st, or do you go with the guy from Morgan Township, and what is his name?
Keegan Holder.
Yeah, and Keegan Holder, so... I think that Sam wants to go with Hayes from 21st. And then this is where we kind of disagreed on the fifth person. And what's the kid from Maryville? Cy, or what's his last name?
Where?
Sia.
Sia. That's how you say it. Sia from Maryville. He wanted him to be in the discussion. He also wanted Kinsella to be in the discussion from Munster. And Jack Svetich from Crown Point. So I think the fifth person would be Jack Svetich is what he finally came up with. Hmm. So there it is. Yours.
That's fair. I have seven because, like Jim D'Lo, he can make the rules on WJOB. I can make my rules on Duamaro podcast. So I have Jack Smiley, Torrance Hayes Jr., Keegan Holder, Tyler Parrish, Caleb Parks, Jake Smith, Dikembe Shaw of Crown Point, and Dominique Murphy.
That's odd that you say that because Sam is out, in his hotel room in Washington, D.C. Those are the nine plus Kinsella that he texted me, those exact same numbers. So I don't know it as well.
That's fair.
You know, and I guess in bringing it all together, maybe COVID kind of put a damper on, you know, us getting close
you
to
know
the
what?
Teams. And it seems like we busted out.
Since it is the Duamero podcast, it's all inclusive of the area. I just got a tip to add Matt King of Bosco. So let's add Matt King, a former Hammond guy, on Duamero's.
Former Hammond guy.
Yeah.
Former Hammond Central guy.
Yeah, former Hammond Central Wildcats guy who we just had the current head
coach. You know
coach
what?
On.
He's having a good year, didn't he?
At Bosco, yeah. He was making some noise. So shout out to Nico Panousas. He actually works in the Hammond school system, and he coaches Matt King. But full disclaimer, Matt King was hooping this year.
You know, what was I went to the final. I wanted to see Purdue clinch that conference championship, so I went down to the game with my brother and my dad and my wife. It was a big, nice family atmosphere, and we hung out like Sasha was talking about. We hung out afterwards, and everybody just sat there. We waited a half an hour after the game, and I hung Matt Smith as Matt Money Smith. He was announcing the national game. When you go to L.A., you got to hook up with him, by the way. He does a Money, Petro and Money in the afternoon. He's the number one sports show. He grew up right over here on Forest Avenue.
Really?
Never comes to the region, but he came and he did that game for the national feed so that he could come back up and see his mom in Hammond after the game. And I hung out with him, and they were still sitting there 40 – everybody was just on the court 40 minutes later. But anyways, I was in the – they were starting the game. They started a little late at Purdue. So I'm watching this game, and of course, you know, I love EC, and I'm all in on EC, but I wanted my Mustangs to get a win.
Yeah.
And Jack Cundiff drives down the lane, beats his man, and he gets up, and he has a layup, and it comes off the front of the rim. No problem, because Jermaine Coney is there, right? Is it Coney or Comey?
Coney.
Coney. Jermaine Coney is there, and he tips it, and you've probably done that tip.
Yeah.
1,000 times, and you will make 950 of them, okay? And that ball, he tips, and it hits the back of the rim, and it comes out, and Munster loses to EC. And I am in the stands, and Purdue's down by 8, and Munster just lost. And my wife's like, just relax, just relax. And there's all these people, and I'm starting to hyperventilate a little bit. It was a great experience, don't get me wrong. That double overtime, Munster Morton.
Yeah.
Unbelievable game. Unbelievable games for Bishop Knoll also and Griffith. And it was unbelievable way all the way through. But that was just 2 years in a row. If you guys will remember last year, Trilly had a shot that he makes 90% of the time and it rimmed out. So Hammond Central won. So there was a little bit of disappointment about my Mustangs.
Absolutely. You know what? Courtesy of WJOB and an amazing broadcast stream you guys did and great internet reception that I was able to receive from Greenville, South Carolina. I was with the boys. I was with my team, and we were having dinner, and we were watching the Big Ten games. And I had my phone. Well, I'm sorry, not Big Ten, because it was SEC County.
Yeah, it was so SEC, yes.
Yeah, they didn't have no Big Ten games on at dinner. And so I said, let me go to the link. I went to WJOB Twitter, and I got the link, and I'm watching it at dinner while talking to my team. And they're like, what are you watching? And I was like, WJOB, where I do the podcast. And I said, I really love, you know, the energy of our basketball right now. And so I was watching it, and I saw all the games. So courtesy of WJOB for putting on a great streaming network.
Yeah, Jed TV, Rob's doing a great job with that. And it really has blown up for us here, too. I mean, we weren't really expecting it. But really, DeJuan Marrero, Rico, as Sasha Stefanovic was just calling you. Personally, I've seen like areas of high school basketball over, you know, my 60 years when it was hot.
Yeah.
You know, I was certainly a little kid when East Chicago Roosevelt and East Chicago Washington basically took over the region in 70-71. I was here and I watched Glenn Robinson when he came through for Roosevelt.
Right.
And that was kind of a high point because there were a lot of really good players around when he was doing that. And then it came up to, like, Robbie Hummel and, Etwan Moore out of EC. And their group, and I don't know, what was that, mid-2010s or something like that. And that kind of lasted until you guys went down there and three region teams were in the final game. Two of them won, Bowman and Wheeler, and then Lou Wallace lost at the buzzer. But that was another high point of region basketball. And it maybe kind of muffled a little bit, waffled a little bit. And now I'm seeing it again. I'm just seeing, like, you know, these games, it's so hard to pick who's good because there were so many good teams. And there's so many people getting behind their teams right now. So I think it's another heyday.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I want to leave it off this because I know we're getting short on time. We have a few. It's March Madness coming up. We have a lot of players from the region that are playing for their respective schools. Number one is Jonell Davis with Dusty May. He's a Gary 21st Century alum, and he's making strides, and hopefully they make a deep run. Dusty May was just on John Rothstein's podcast for CBS, talking highly about Jonell Davis and kind of shedding some light on the region because that's where he's from. Who else do we have? Mason Jones, who's at Ball State. He came under Shemma's program, which was GR3 at the time. The other kid that I can remember is Harold Woods, another Woods. He's at Northeastern in Boston, who came from Bosco. Caden Vasco, who is a Lowell kid. He's at Central Michigan starting. Any other notable names? Jermaine Cousinart, fairly known at EC, who played at South Carolina. He's now at Oregon. Right, so we have our fair share of several players that's playing college basketball right now, and I know there's the names that I'm missing.
Oh, but you're missing a few, and
Kobe Knox, right? Kobe Knox has some time in the region, and he's now at USF, you know, University of South Florida. But there is some other kids that's playing D2, D3, and at the end of the day, I know that when our region teams make these post runs, it gives them opportunity to get looked at by college scouts because they want winners, right? And so kudos to our area and community.
There it is. Thanks a lot for having me.
Thank you. Rob, as always, thank you for producing and showcasing all your skills and all that you do.
Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you.